Welcome to the Jazz Talk podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. I first off need to start off by apologizing for how long it's been since an episode's come out. We're getting close to 2 months now at this point. If you're not aware, I had a huge change in my life, changed occupations, moved to a completely different state. So I've been getting settled in. Still could have made more of an effort to get episodes out, but now we're back. We're going to get things going again. Today's episode, we're going to talk about where the Jazz are at this point in the season. They've played 44 games. There's 82 games in the season, so 41 is the halfway point. So they're just slightly over halfway through this season. I just wanted to give a very quick overview of where they are in the season. And we'll definitely go more in depth as we get into, future episodes going along here. We'll also get into more NBA stuff as time goes on here as well. So first off, the Jazz right now are 21-23. They started off the year as the surprise team, the team that nobody saw coming. I believe they were 12-6. They were the number one seed for a small little period of the beginning of the year. And that's mostly because they had just traded away their two big stars. They traded away Bojan Bogdanović as well. Nobody saw this team being any good. Las Vegas picked them to win 24 and a half games throughout the whole year. Like I said before, the Jazz have won 21 so far. So if they win another four games in the next, let's see, what would that be, 39? If you bet on them to win more than 24 and a half with Las Vegas, you'd win that bet. Everybody saw this team being the worst in the NBA. Well, not everybody, but the so-called experts, the gambling people, they thought that they were going to be the worst team in the NBA, and they came out really hot. They played really hard. They do have good talent. Like, this isn't a talentless team. It's just kind of mismatched and didn't seem to really work on paper. And some nights it really doesn't work. But they're 12-6 to begin. And then things have really tapered off since. Like I said, they're 21-23. So they're under 500 now at this point. They've had a couple five-game losing streaks throughout this period. But the thing is, this team never gets just destroyed. If you're a team that is going to win 24, 25 games for the entire year, like Vegas thought, you're going to have tons of games where you're getting beat by 20, 30, even 40 points. The Jazz have been blown out once this year. I can't remember exactly who they were playing, but they've been blown out once. Everything other than that, the Jazz are number one in the entire NBA in clutch minutes played, which basically means minutes played within 5 points within five minutes of the end of the game. So the Jazz have been in the most close games at the very end of the game than anybody else in the league. This latest five-game losing streak that they went on, they were, I think they're 20-18 when it started, maybe 20-17, something like that. Those five games that they lost by a combined 15 points. So they lost by 3 points every single game on average, of course. They lost on two different buzzer beaters. Actually, three. Tyler Hero hit one. Kevin Huerter hit one. And then the Jazz were down by two, I believe. Jared Vanderbilt threw a perfect pass three quarters across the court. Larry Markkanen catches it, puts it up, nails a three. Unfortunately, time had expired 1/10 of a second before he let go of that ball. They had to go back to review, and the refs ended up taking it away, saying that he was still holding on to the ball. Well, his fingertips were still on the ball as time elapsed. But that being said, what I'm trying to dial down to here is this team plays extremely hard. They have good enough talent to play well against anybody in the NBA. They're just missing a few pieces to really be a contender. But again, nobody saw them being a contender this year. I remember at the beginning of the year, I kept saying that this Jazz team I thought was good enough to win about 35 games. Now, if they stay on the pace that they're at, they're going to be right at about 35 games. The last episode I put out, again, this is like 2 months ago. Again, sorry about that. The Jazz were on a 50-win pace at that point. This is a team that they play hard enough and they have enough talent that they could get back up to a 50-win pace. It would take a lot of work, but it's not impossible. So let's spend the rest of this episode talking about why this team has been much, much better than what people thought. So first off, just because the Jazz traded away their top players, it immediately was, oh, they don't have their top players. They're not going to be any good anymore. And the thing is, all those trades, they loaded up with guys that had been very good role players for quite a bit of time in the league. From Gobert, you got Jared Vanderbilt, who had been the starting power forward for the T-Wolves the whole last year. Malik Beasley, who has started some, has been an awesome six man, was one of the best 3-point shooters in the league the year before. And they also picked up Patrick Beverley, who they turned into Talen Horton Tucker, trading him to the Lakers. And Talen Horton Tucker won a championship with the Lakers, was their sixth man for a couple years. And then they also got a rookie back in Walker Kessler, who has been fantastic. And we'll go more in depth in future episodes into guys like Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji and other young guys that have really stepped into a role. So right there, they got three guys in Kessler, Vanderbilt, and Beasley that are part of their rotation every single night. And then Talen Horton Tucker is constantly fighting with Nickeil Alexander-Walker for the last spot with the normal rotation. Then you look at the Donovan Mitchell trade. They sent away Donovan Mitchell, which, of course, he was a three-time All-Star, I think, when they sent him away. He's having an incredible season. Again, don't have time to get into that today. But in return, they got back Lauri Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen averaged 15 points a game last year as the fourth or fifth most important player on the Cavaliers starting lineup. He's having an all-star type season. He's averaging just under 25 points a game, right around 9 rebounds last night to help the Jazz beat the Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell, which Donovan Mitchell had 46 points in that game. They did not lose because of Donovan Mitchell. But anyway, Lowry had 28 points and 16 rebounds. He's turned himself into a fantastic, probably number two option when they do find a star eventually. But again, they didn't trade Donovan Mitchell for nothing. They also got back in that trade Colin Sexton. Now, Sexton's been hurt. He's been dealing with a hamstring issue. Right now, he's doing like hamstring maintenance, basically. So he's trying to strengthen up the hamstrings before he comes back to play. But when he's been playing for them, he's been incredibly effective. He'll play only about 20 minutes and put up 14 points, dish out a couple assists, play really aggressive defense. The minutes that he's played right alongside Mike Conley have been very effective this season. And then they also receive Ochai Agbaji, who for most of the season has been with the G League squad. But in the last, I think, 5 or 6 games, has become a normal rotation player for the Jazz. He's good. Got he is a good wing size player, fantastic athlete, can knock down threes. I think they're playing the Rockets, and he put up 21 points in that game. Went 7 for 7, 4 for 4 from three. On a nightly basis, he's making athletic moves. He's making smart cuts to the basket. Plays good, solid defense. And then in the Kelly or Bojan Bogdanovic trade, they got back Kelly Olynyk, which Kelly Olynyk is not as good as Bojan Bogdanovic, but he's still 7 feet tall and has played in the NBA for, shoot, I think this is like his 12th or 13th season. He's been around for a while. And he brought to the Jazz the ability to shoot, the playmaking, just that savvy veteran experience that the, of course, these younger guys just don't have. So that is a big piece as to why the Jazz have been successful is these trades. They didn't just pick up a bunch of picks, which they did pick up a lot of picks. You know, don't discount that, but they also got solid players that can contribute. Let's really quickly get to the dynamic of this team. Who has really stepped up? So Lauri Markkanen is going to be an all-star this year. He is probably the front runner for most improved player of the year. He's 7 feet tall. He plays a small forward for the Jazz most of the time, but he can play the power forward. He's had times where he's playing the center. He keeps getting better at handling the ball, but he actually plays almost the exact same role as Klay Thompson does with the Warriors. Klay Thompson is 6'6". Lauri Markkanen 7 feet tall. Lauri Markkanen, Brian Windhorst brought this up. It's something like 95% of his baskets are assisted. That's exactly like Klay Thompson. You run off screens, you cut, you run the pick and roll. Everything is assisted to you. You're not creating much, which makes him the perfect complement if you find an amazing creator, whether it be through the draft, trade, or free agency. You pair him with an incredible creator. You have an amazing 1-2 punch right there. Like, say you put him with, he's not going to be available or anything like that, but say you put him with a guy like Trae Young that likes to create shots for other people, creates his own shots, of course, but it also, Lowry's offense really doesn't change. It probably just becomes more efficient because he's getting better looks. They're finding him wide open more often. And the responsibility of handling the ball is taken completely out of Lauri Markkanen's hands at that point. Yeah, he has been awesome this year, and I think the Jazz plan on keeping him around for the long term. Jordan Clarkson came off the bench this year. He was a sixth man for the last few years. They finally bumped him up to starter this year, and he has been awesome. He's been averaging 20 points a game. Last night, I think he scored 30, 32, somewhere around there. But he was the driving force for the Jazz coming back late against the Cavaliers. It was 107 to 102. They ended up winning 116 to 114. It was really like 116 to 111. Donovan Mitchell hit a three-pointer with 0.1 seconds left. To make it a 2-point game. But Jordan's been awesome this year, taking over a role as a starter. A lot of these late game situations, he's been able to come in and just really take over. Kelly Olynyk and Jared Vanderbilt are also part of the normal starting lineup. They both have very versatile games. And it's funny because they're very versatile, but they're in completely different ways. Jared Vanderbilt is a guy that can just sit in the dunker spot, and if you don't watch him, he can put up 20 points in a game. He grabs offensive boards. He is a very good rebounder overall. On the defensive end, he'll guard basically 1 through 5. You put him on the other team's best player, he's a bigger, better version of Royce O'Neal on the defensive end. On the offensive end, he's not a guard type player like Royce was. He's, you know, he's definitely a big. He has shown the ability to space the floor a little bit this year. He's shooting about 36% from three. That's only on one attempt a game. But still, that is better than not ever going out there, because he is standing in the corner. The defender at least has to stand somewhere close, which opens up things in the middle of the lane for guys like Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton, Mike Conley, and Lauri Markkanen. Kelly Olynyk, on the other side, is a fantastic three-point shooter, a great passer. I would like to see them run a couple plays a game through him at the free throw line, because I think he's that good of a passer and shooter. On the defensive end, he's 7 feet tall, which helps. He's a little smaller. You know, he's a skinny guy. So he makes up for it by being really smart, knowing when to take charges. And he takes a lot of charges, by the way. And then Mike Conley has just been this great veteran leader for the team, getting them into their sets on the offensive end and just being as good of a leader as he possibly can be, whilst definitely not being as effective as a player as he was in his younger days. Malik Beasley has taken over the six-man role. He's been fantastic. He shoots a ton of threes per game, plays as hard as he can on the defensive end. And, you know, like the game last night where Kelly Olynyk's out, he gets moved up into the starting lineup. Colin Sexton, when healthy, has been awesome off the bench. Taylen Horton-Tucker has looked pretty good off the bench. Again, we'll get more in-depth into these guys in future episodes. And then Walker Kessler has really been one of the big surprises this year. I figured he was going to be a very good rim protector over time, and that he could become a serviceable big. I think he could be the starting center now. I would not hesitate to start him and Jared Vanderbilt together and bring a guy like Kelly Olynyk off the bench. Walker Kessler is averaging right at 2 blocks a game in, I think, like 18 minutes a game. So per 36 minutes, I'm pretty sure he's the leader in blocks per 36 minutes. He's been a very good pick and roll player on both the offense and the defensive end. He needs to work on staying on the ground. On the defensive end, he goes for every single block. He needs to be able to stay on the ground, contest a shot, and then be still on the ground where he can move and contest the next shot. But the Jazz really found a gem there with him. And then finally, Will Hardy has been everything that the Jazz said he would be when they hired him as the coach. He is intelligent. He is likable. But, you know, he's the players listen to him. They trust him. He's putting forth this this way of playing. I can't think of the word I was trying to say. He's put forth this way of playing, way of being, where you play for each other, keep the ball moving, you play hard on defense. The Jazz, again, they just don't quite have the horses yet to really be a contender. But, man, they've been exciting. And, again, every single game they play is fun to watch. Even if they lose, they are in it until the very end. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and end today's episode. Again, I apologize for it being so long since the last episode came out, but I'm back. Things are going to get going again. So thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back and listening. I Very much appreciate it. I hope you all have a great day and go Jazz.